When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to Commanding the Huddle. I am your host, Ryan Fowler, and if you missed last week's episode, I talked to five most important players on the offensive side of the ball for the Washington Commanders in 2024. So again, you missed that episode, you can jump back to last week. And today, of course, we're jumping to the other side of the ball, where a brand new look on defense is obviously going to be headlined by Joe Witt Jr. coordinating this thing from the front all the way back to the secondary. Of course, offense, new faces, new places, right? Quarterback Jaden Daniels, wide receiver Luke McCaffrey, of course, offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury, all tied together by Dan Quinn. But now on the defensive side of the ball, what is this Commanders group going to look like? Because look, Dan Quinn, at the end of the day, is a defensive-minded head coach. Joe Witt Jr., I'm going to get into him in just a little bit more in-depth as far as just how, first off, guys, how damn excited I am to watch this defense fly around. But looking at the individual skill sets at all three levels of this defense, the additions that this team made in free agency, the additions that this team made in the draft, how unique defenses have become at the NFL level to counter the high-flying speed and just overall production and level of talent that you see across offenses in football. Does it matter if it's just in the NFC East? It's absolutely everywhere. And I know you guys out there have seen that in years past. I mean, let's look back to last year when the Buffalo game, the Miami game, obviously Washington struggles in their own division. It was ugly last year for the Commanders. Last in the league in yards allowed. Last in the league in points allowed per game. It was ugly. Now, I will say this just to provide a little bit of hope, just going off of historical trends and historical statistics. Now, I know, as you guys know, there's a new regime in town, and all of that stuff in the past and the Ron Rivera regime is in the past. I'm trying to forget about it. But if you look back to 2019, when Bill Callahan and Jay Gruden were running this thing, Washington finished 27th in points allowed and yards. Again, in 2019. That next year, Ron Rivera's first year in Washington in 2020, that COVID year, they were top five on defense in both points and yards allowed. Then he jumped to 2021. Washington is 25th in points, 22nd in yards. Catching a trend here. 2022, top 10 in points, top 5 in yards allowed. And then last year, as I just mentioned, last in the league in points and yards. So, historical trend since 2019 says 2024 for Washington is going to be a hell of a year defensively to where they could be top 10 in defense, in yards, and points allowed. Washington was also last in the league in turnovers created per game last year, which was ugly, especially after drafting Emmanuel Forbes, the premier ball hawk in the 2023 class. And obviously, year one was not good for Emmanuel. Big expectations for him. I will talk about more about Emmanuel in just a minute. But just looking at trends and numbers to where they do matter, and of course analytics matter, teams look at it. It's the reason why Washington brought in Eugene Shen this offseason as an analytical mind to look behind just the face mask, the body, the player. What goes beyond? What are the trends, statistics, leverages? What are different scenarios that maybe what we should do here with this personnel group in this situation, or what is this defense just going to run here that we could operate with this or counter with this? All those different things go into it from an analytics side of things, let alone looking at it from a scouting perspective, player development, and the types of ball players that, bottom line, Adam Peters, GM, and Dan Quinn want in the building for not just 2024, 2025, but in the next decade, as Washington, of course, tried to lay this foundation for this thing and building not towards a division title this year, a Super Bowl title this year, but at least getting back on the tracks towards relevancy in your own division. And it's been too long. So again, we're going to talk defensive side of the ball today, where Washington flat out has to be better. And again, five most important players or figures, if you catch my drift here, for the Commanders and the Burgundy and Gold in 2024. So without further ado, the fifth most important for me this year is going to be rookie nickel corner Mike Sanristil from Michigan. You guys have been here for the last few months. I've talked about Mike a lot, whether it was before Washington drafted the kid out of Michigan or now after, and projecting him into this Washington defense. I absolutely cannot say enough good things about Mike Sanristil and what he's going to be for this defense, not only challenging Quan Martin for snaps, where Quan's going to play a variety of spots, and I expect Mike to right away live at nickel inside with air, open air to either shoulder. It's tough to play that spot. He's not the biggest kid in the world. However, he's tough as nails. He's got excellent hips. He's a former receiver. Those ball skills are absolutely there. He's got a high level of production in the Big Ten, played in some big time games, won a national championship, so he has that winning type of pedigree that I know Adam Peters and his staff prioritized in this draft process. I can't say enough good things about what Mike is going to do, both in countering the passing game, where teams try to use that pre-snap motion to get into the slot, free releases. Mike Sanristil is going to work people inside that contact window and free guys up on the outside to where, look, you're not having to double guys consistently out of the slot or bring in another safety like a Derek Forrest, Jeremy Chinn, or bring down a Percy Butler to play in the slot to counter another guy out of the slot because you can't have anybody that can cover at the nickel spot. So again, you drafted Quan Martin on day two last year. He's going to be somebody that rotates there. I expect him to. But the importance of Mike Sanristil to quickly evolve in this defense, to quickly play at a high level, is going to be extremely, extremely important for the overall success, really from a floor perspective and a ceiling perspective, of this Commanders defense in 2024. Next, I'm going up to the edge spot. This edge group, obviously, has had a lot of changes, not just last year with the Montez Sweats and Chase Youngs of the world, and tip of the cap to Montez Sweat, obviously had a career year with the Chicago Bears, had 16 sacks, was near the tops of the league, deserved his contract extensions, going to be in Chicago for a long time. For us in Washington, we will see him in the middle portions of this year back in D.C. I know Montez has that game circled on his schedule, but it's also back to the days with Ryan Kerrigan, right? He's gone. We had him in D.C. for a long, long, long time to where you looked at the edge group and said, well, it was headlined by 91. Then they bring in Montez, and then they bring in Chase, and the expectations for those two, and they both, as a tandem, never lived up to the expectations that we had. But Cleland Farrell is my fourth most important guy for this Commanders defense this year. It's not Dorrance Armstrong, it's not KJ Henry, it's not Andre Jones, it's Cleland Farrell. Dante Fowler's going to rotate in, But what Cleland's going to be able to do, and what I expect him to do, is to prove himself again. Because you look at what he did last year. Remember, guys, if you didn't follow this stuff, if you're just getting into the NFL potentially, the Commanders, or the draft process, or really evaluating these guys and knowing the names on different teams, let alone Washington, Cleland was a top five pick, guys, of the Oakland Raiders, then the Oakland Raiders, now the Las Vegas Raiders, of course, out of Clemson. The kid's still 27 years old. Strong kid, 6'4", over 260 pounds. He's a grown man off the edge. And last year, I love what I saw from him. Now, has he lived up to expectations, guys, as a top five pick out of Clemson? No, absolutely not. But you look at what he did last year on that San Francisco 49ers defense. 30 pressures, was tied for the most in his career. 4 sacks was the second most in his career. Now, these numbers, specifically with sacks, are not mind-boggling. I'm not sitting here saying Cleland had 9 sacks here, 11 sacks there, 6 sacks here. 5 sacks in his rookie year back in 2019 was the most sacks he's ever had in a season. He's had 5 seasons under his belt. So now this year in Washington, to where he's on a prove-it deal, he's going to be edge two behind the handsomely paid Dorrance Armstrong, following Dan Quinn, of course, over from Dallas. I expect Cleland to be a guy that's going to pin his ears back and flat out get after somebody. Because this edge group, by no means, when you look at it from a 10,000-foot view, or you hear it from myself or others in the industry, no one is going to say that this Washington Commanders edge group is one of the top 15 to 20 in football. They're probably, from a flat-out talent perspective, probably bottom 5 or 6. But at the end of the day, all you got to do is outperform expectations, outplay expectations, compete, be physical, be aggressive. That's what I expect Cleland Farrell to be for this Washington defense. And he's going to have to be a hell of a ball player, because it's not just going to be on Dorrance Armstrong. Because then you're looking at guys, like I mentioned earlier, in KJ Henry, Dante Fowler, and Andre Jones Jr., of course, Henry and Jones working into year two as day three picks from the last Ron Rivera regime draft. So again, Cleland Farrell going to be extremely important this year. I'm not going to sit here and say I expect 7 or 8-plus sacks from him. But a pressure here and there on key situations, a third down and 7, when you're up 7 at the Philadelphia Eagles in November, that's going to be huge. That would be a big-time play from Cleland Farrell. We're not expecting him to be Montez Sweat or what we expected from Chase Young. But it's amazing, guys. It's amazing sometimes what you see from guys and how they play when you're pushing for something. Because you look at a guy like Cleland, again, top 5 pick back in 2019, sparkling rookie contract. Now he's fighting for contracts to stay in the NFL. He's fighting for a long-term contract because, again, he's not 31. He's not 32. The guy is still 27 years old with 5 years of NFL football under his belt. He's got over 1,300 snaps as a pass rusher under his belt in the NFL. So by no means is he new or getting his feet wet at the NFL level. But he is getting his feet wet in Washington, and he is getting his feet wet under Dan Quinn. And again, it's amazing how players compete and produce when you're playing for something. So again, Cleland Farrell, excited to see him in this Washington defense. Now moving into the top 3 guys. This tandem, it's not just one singular player. This tandem is a tandem that has to be an all-pro type of tandem every single game. And it's De'Ron Payne and it's John Allen. It starts with those guys in the middle. It starts with them every year. Going back to 2017, going back to 2018 when those guys were drafted. Since they've been together in Washington, each of them have looked like all pros. For me, De'Ron Payne has been better of the two in the last few years. John Allen, I'm excited to see a newly infused type of energy with John Allen this year. I think he became, obviously, we heard the comments last year, he's pissed off. I get that. And I like that. He was outspoken. He's a leader. People listen to him in that locker room. And of course, he not only talks the talk, but he can walk the walk as well. So I'd like hearing from the leaders in Washington over these past few years when things have not been great. But both these guys came from Alabama. Both these guys came from big-time programs, right? Winning consistently. Both guys working under Nick Saban. And I'd be a fool to sit here right now and say that they don't want to get back to winning. They would sit here and they would not lie to you. They would say, oh yeah, we're just fine with losing. Yeah, we got brand new contracts, but we just kind of want to win 4 or 5 games a year. Hell no! People want to win. Everybody wants a ring. Everybody wants to make it to an NFC or AFC championship game. Yeah, maybe not just once. Maybe 2, 3, 4 times in their career. And I applaud John Allen and Daron Payne for suiting up every single week and competing their asses off within the trenches because they have not had a lot of help around them consistently. That's not just at the edge spot in the inconsistencies that we've seen in the last few years, but at linebacker. And of course, the secondary not able to help the front four out. Because whatever the secondary does and be able to cover helps the front four out and getting after the passer. And the front four can get after the passer quickly. Well, it helps out the secondary. All that stuff correlates. But every single damn ball game, as long as 93 and 94 are aligned next to each other, it's where it starts for the Washington Commanders. They are one of the premier defensive tackle tandems in football. They have been since they both entered the league together. They were both, of course, excellent in Alabama. It was really fun watching those players back in the SEC years ago. And they've both been excellent in Washington. But now, there's a new expectation with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. to where playing at a Pro Bowl level may not be enough when you ask Dan Quinn or Joe Witt. Playing in all pro levels, what they are going to expect from both these guys. And from Allen and Payne's perspective, you know they compete every single day in practice and every single game as far as who is the top dog along this defensive line. And when you got guys competing like that, and then you look in the rearview mirror and see Johnny Newton, a talented kid out of Illinois that slipped into the second round, of course, the foot injury is something that is lingering over the heads of, I know, you guys and those in Washington. For me, and from what I've heard, I fully expect him to be good to go sooner rather than later. Now, that timetable is still up in the air, and we will see what we get out of Johnny Newton this summer and heading into the fall. But for both John Allen and Daron Payne, looking at, again, right behind you and seeing that kid, this is a new regime in town. And that's the type of player. You watch him in Illinois, if you guys have not flipped on the tape of Johnny Newton in the Big Ten, take 5 minutes, see what he's going to be able to provide for this defense. They're going to be very, very unique along the front to where they could align Newton, Allen, and Payne all on the field at one time. Is Newton just going to be a rotational piece like a John Ridgeway this year? I really don't think so. I think he's going to get some substantial snaps, of course, if healthy and able to play. But he's going to push those guys. But every single damn ball game, defensively, I know if you guys have been here these last few years as I do these pregame previews and I talk about the defensive side of the ball for Washington, where they usually have an advantage, it starts at defensive tackle and being able to push from the interior. Gone are the days of just saying we're just going to get 2 325-pound gap cloggers to just play on early downs and stack and shed and clog those 1, 2, 3 holes. Those days are gone. You got to be able to have guys that can push vertically from the interior on the defensive side of the ball, let alone your guys pinning their ears back at 5-tech off the offensive tackle shoulder. So for John Allen and Daron Payne, as it starts now, as OTAs, minicamp coming up, training camp, and then of course we work into September, it always will start with them as long as that tandem is intact for the Burgundy and Gold on defense. Now let's get into my final player on this list. If you guys are catching my drift here, my most important guy, I'm going to talk about Joe Witt Jr. at the top of this list, guys. But my most important individual player for this defense this year is Emmanuel Forbes, for me. There are a lot of opinions on Emmanuel. For me, I'm staying positive. Joe Witt talked yesterday, sitting here on June 6th on Thursday recording this. His presser on Wednesday was fiery. It was passionate. I love the approach and the way that Joe Witt explains his thought process to each individual and his scheme on the defensive side of the ball as far as You know, I'm not giving hints away as far as what we're going to do, but we're going to get after people. And I love that. But with Emmanuel on the outside, and unfortunately what we saw in year one as a cover three corner at Mississippi State, so for those out there that are unfamiliar with cover three, split the field in thirds, playing zone, working downhill, and making plays in the football. That's what Emmanuel Forbes did best in the SEC at Mississippi State. He was not a press man corner, what Washington and Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera asked him to do early on year one last year against the likes, of course, of A.J. Brown and D.J. Moore in that primetime game against Chicago where D.J. had, what, two touchdowns over 200 yards in the first half, whatever it was. It was an ugly, ugly night at FedEx Field. But for this year, and what Joe Witt and Quinn have been able to do with the likes of Deron Bland and Trayvon Diggs, and I look at the fundamental talent of a kid like Emmanuel Forbes, and I look at this corners room to where, again, Michael Davis, Benjamin St. Just, Emmanuel Forbes, away from the nickel spot, which I do expect, again, to be Mike Sanders still rotationally with Quan Martin, Emmanuel Forbes could very easily at some point in time, be CB1 for this roster. He was drafted last year to be CB1. Now, again, this regime has no ties to Emmanuel Forbes. I know he's been bulking up this summer, trying to get stronger. That will help him on the outside, not just in coverage, but also against the run. Getting off of blocks, making plays on the perimeter. He is a willing tackler. He showed that at times in year one, and he absolutely showed that in the SEC. But his ability to improve this year quickly, in the first 2, 3, 4 weeks of the season, to see some improvement, that's what I want to see from Emmanuel Forbes this year. Playing in a scheme to where there is not a single defense in football that will just play man or just play zone. Every single defense is a hybrid defense. You do a little bit of both. Of course, everybody has their certain pillars, but every defense does a little bit of both. And flat out, guys, I'm not giving up on the kid. But this corner's room, Washington did not draft a perimeter corner this year. Now, I know there are some potential expectations or for a guy to outplay a quote-unquote draft slot as a UDFA and bringing in Chigozie Anuzium from Colorado State. But sitting here right now and saying that a potential UDFA is going to be a top 2-3 corner on your roster in year one, you may be playing with fire there. So this summer is going to be fun to see how the corners room shakes out. Because as of right now, if you ask me, the top 3 corners on this roster on the perimeter is going to be Michael Davis, Benjamin St. Just, and Mike Sanders still at nickel. Emmanuel Forbes is going to be that third perimeter corner. I just cannot sit here right now and say that he's a top 2 corner on this roster from what we saw in year one. But I'm hopeful. I'm being positive. I look at the skill set and the projectability of the young man in this defense that is going to be physical, that is going to force teams into mistakes, that allows playmakers to be playmakers on the outside, allow athletes to be athletes, not robots. I thought Emmanuel Forbes was a little bit of a robot last year, doing things to where he had to fit into Ron Rivera's box, almost trying to fit a circle into a square hole. It doesn't work at the NFL level. And there's a reason why it went bad so quickly. But when you modify what you do schematically to the players you have and everything is able to jigsaw, well, then you see a guy like Deron Bland out of Fresno State lead the league in interceptions. Or Trayvon Diggs become an all-pro type of player in the secondary, even though those guys aren't the best cover corners in the league. For me, they're not even top 20, 25 cover corners in the league. You could probably go beyond that. They're consistently allowing a ton of yards. But the ability to get the ball back to an offense, defensive coordinators will trade that off every single day of the week. And this offense, obviously, in Washington, as I talked about last week, and as you guys know, is going to it's going to be expected to be a lot better this year. It's where hopefully This group consistently scores 20, 21, 22 plus points and allows Washington to stay in football games. So my final guy on this list is defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. Now, let me start this off and preface this by saying, if you have not been able to listen to any of Joe's pressers or any conversations that he's had, interviews, please just take 5 to 10 minutes and go and listen to him speak. From a defensive mind perspective, from a defensive coordinator, you want somebody, for me at least, and I know a lot of you guys out there may have that old school mindset, as do I. Defensively, I know the game has changed. You're getting lighter in the secondary. You're getting lighter up front. You're getting edge defenders that can also play off-ball linebacker. You're having to get guys at nickel that can also play the outside. It's not just because you're 5'7 or 5'9, you're thrown in a nickel. Look at Clark Phillips. He's slated to start in Atlanta this year as a 5'9 corner opposite of A.J. Terrell. You got to do a lot of different things on the defensive side of the ball. Of course, you look at Washington's defense and Jeremy Chinn and Dom Hampton and Derek Forrest, Percy Butler playing the roof. There are so many things that go into the defensive side of the ball and how it's evolved. But as long as football has been played, defense can be played with intelligent violence to where you strap up and you can take the will of somebody, physically overwhelming them to where they don't want to catch the ball. They don't want to run the ball. That quarterback now has happy feet and doesn't want to take a hit in the pocket. That tackle is now overwhelmed because you consistently kick his ass snap after snap after snap. And over the last few years, even though, as I mentioned at the top of this episode, we've seen some decent success from this Washington defense. But I have not seen the level of defense, physicality, aggressiveness, really just establishing that type of identity that you've seen over the years from the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Baltimore Ravens, the San Francisco 49ers. Hell, what we've even seen from the Kansas City Chiefs over these last few years with their young tandem at linebacker. Don't care if it's Nick Bolton or Willie Gay, who's now gone, or young kid Leo Chenal, who's going to be a hell of a player moving forward for them for a long time. You got to be physical, and you got to get after people. And just listening to Joe Witt, as far as what he's going to do on the defensive side of the football with guys like Frankie Louvu, to where he's going to play at the line of scrimmage, he's going to play some off-ball linebacker. Jamin Davis is also going to get snaps as a pass rusher this year. Joe said it yesterday as far as he likes the bend on Jamin Davis. What's that? What that means is his ability to bend or run the arc around the outside of the tackle. Big man that has bend. He's going to get snaps at 5-tech this year. What is 5-tech? That's right outside the right tackle or the left tackle. So left tackle is his left shoulder, right tackle, right shoulder. Defensive lineman or lines there, he's a 5-tech defensive end for those out there that are unfamiliar with that terminology. He's going to be unique this year. And he said it, the best 11 football players that he has that consistently produce and show up are going to be on the football field. Now, they're going to be unique in their personnel packages. They brought in Jeremy Chinn for a reason. Right, they drafted Sanders still for a reason. Quan Martin, of course, still in the building. Really versatile kid, as is Derek Forrest. I think he's going to have a hell of a year playing at multiple levels inside this defense. But just sitting back and projecting what this defense can be this year to where there is talent. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say this is going to be a top 10 to 12 unit in football this year. Could they be if everything comes to fruition, headlined by a hell of an anchor in the middle and future Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, in my opinion, in Bobby Wagner, with Deron Payne, John Allen in front of him for Bobby to play off of? This team could outperform some expectations defensively, especially with being how unique they are going to be, and they're going to mix up looks. They're going to be exotic at times. And you look at this Dan Quinn defense specifically and his years in Dallas to where it really isn't a super exotic defense. It's very simple post-snap, from pre-snap to post-snap. and we're going to force things underneath, and we're going to be aggressive with usually trying to get home with four, or we're going to send some extra pressure and create simulated pressures, maybe drop an edge out into the flat areas. We're going to send a safety up that A gap with some more pop from the lower half perspective as far as speed and really rush your quarterback's processing. That's going to be the Dan Quinn defense, and the players are in the building to operate and execute that this year. So my most important, not player, but figure for the Washington Commanders on the defensive side of the ball this year is going to be Joe Witt Jr. I don't know if I'm just having bad Vietnam flashbacks because of what we saw with Jack Del Rio these last few years, or when Ron Rivera took over against Miami and they're running man with a safety at 10 yards depth against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I don't ever want to watch that film ever again. I just want to throw it in the damn dumpster and watch that thing burn. I don't want to ever go back to that and watch that shit that we saw last year. And of course, you guys know, you've seen me in other shows, you've heard me on radio, you've heard me on here. I'm always going to stay positive as much as I can about the Commanders. I'm not going to be overzealous. I'm not going to get head over heels here and say, expect a Super Bowl, expect Cleveland Farrell to have 10 sacks, expect Mike Sanderstil to be Defensive Player of the Year, expect Johnny Newton to become one of the premier defensive tackles in football, and both John Allen and Daron Payne are going to be all pros. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you guys. But what I am going to be honest about is what I actually see from specifically studying this defense and studying the new pieces that this group has. And with the figurehead that's now tying it all together and deploying these athletes, all 11 of them, snap after snap after snap, and what we're going to see week one down in Tampa Bay is a defense that is going to have an identity, that is going to get after people, that is going to force teams into mistakes, and is going to get the ball back to Jaden Daniels and this offense. And I'm excited to see this group evolve as we head into training camp, when pads start to crack. I know you guys have probably enjoyed those social media clips for Washington of Jaden Daniels throwing the football or some guys making plays on the defensive side of the ball. But I want to see some pads start to crack, guys. That's when you start to separate guys that are going to be potential depth guys from core contributors and core contributors from cornerstones of the roster, especially this rookie class, right? Guys like Dom Hampton, what are you going to be in the middle of this defense? Jordan McGee from Temple, another versatile piece at 220 pounds. Are you a safety? Are you a linebacker? Are you a guy that's going to get some snaps alongside Frankie Louvu and Jamin Davis as that hybrid linebacker edge rusher? What are you going to be for this defense? Guys are going to start proving themselves as we get into the summer, and as guys start to prove themselves and as pads start to crack, guys begin to separate themselves, and you really begin to build this depth chart out and, for Joe Witt's perspective, build out your personnel groupings that you want to start to deploy here in 2024. So that is going to do it for today's episode. Hope you guys enjoyed. Always appreciate you guys tuning in. If you don't follow me already on X, I'm at _RyanFowler. All of my work, as always, guys, is housed at Bleacher Report and the Draft Network, and I will talk to you guys next Thursday. Always appreciate you guys tuning in. Of course, you can find this podcast on all podcast platforms. Enjoy your weekend. I will talk to you guys soon. I am Ryan Fowler, and this is Commanding the Huddle.
Rack up the deals on everything summer at Nordstrom Rack and get brands you love up to 60% off. Vince, Kate Spade New York, Steve Madden, Madewell, Nike, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Just in dresses, tops, shorts, sandals, sneakers, denim, luxury bags, and sunglasses. Rack up the deals today and save up to 60% on summer at your Nordstrom Rack store.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.